This morning, I want to share with you just a brief encouragement about serving. We could call it volunteering, being a part of a team, being on mission for God, part of His body, so many different things. But our big word this morning is serving. And I want to tell you a funny story. Some of you might have heard this before. If you do, bear with me, because I think this just gets at the heart of serving. And it goes back a few years to when Tyler and I were pastoring in Kimberly, BC. Our church was called Summit Church. And now that I've said that, if I make the mistake and call us Summit this morning, please give me grace. I've been trying. It's been like the word, don't say it, Lizzie, don't say it. But for 8 years, Tyler was the lead pastor there at that church. And he was such a capable pastor. He's very gifted. He's very knowledgeable. He has many degrees and just areas of expertise. And so while he was pastoring, he was a great pastor who could just do a lot. He just reached out and kind of touched everyone and did all of these different ministries, and everything flowed really well in the church. There was one downside to being such a capable pastor. And the downside was that the church people were like, well, we don't have to do anything because Tyler's got it all covered. And so for 8 years, this poor man struggled to get the church to catch the vision that we are all part of the body and that there is a role for them to play. And then over the course of time, Tyler felt the Lord calling him to step down from the lead pastor position, move into a support role. And through a series of events, I became the lead pastor. And one of the very first Sundays that I was officially the lead pastor, we did a Sunday much like today. A Connect Sunday, a time where we highlighted the different ministries and need in the church. And at this time, we probably had, at best, 10% of the people of the church serving in some different capacity. Then we did this Connect Day, and overnight, I kid you not, we went from about 10% to about 80% of people who stepped in to different areas of volunteerism. Now, this is not a knock on Tyler, because let me tell you, he tried for many, many, many years. But come to find out, what we joked about in our church then began to joke about it, and I hope it was always a joke, who knows. But they said, well, when Tyler was the pastor, he was just so gifted at everything that we just let him do the work. We knew that he could do it. We knew that he could handle it. And they're like, and then you came and we knew you were a hot mess. Like, we knew you just didn't have it all together, right? So we knew that you needed the help. Oh, Summit Church, I love you. By the time we left, we had about 90% of the attenders of the church who served in a different capacity. And it was just such a joy to see people catch that vision and step into the call and giftings that God had for them. Now, whether you are here this morning thinking Lizzie's a hot mess, or you're like, yeah, she's okay, I want us to get to the heart of God's truth. And that is that He has called each and every one of us to serve and to be a part of His mission. And so I want to open today with a statement. The statement is, every follower of Jesus is called to a ministry. Every follower of Jesus, so if you follow Jesus today, that's you. Every follower of Jesus is called to a ministry. And I want you to think about that for a moment. I want you to sit with that statement. What do you think about that? How does it make you feel that every follower of Jesus is called to a ministry? And while it may not be your full-time job, and looking around the room, it's probably not your full-time job, but it is your lifetime calling to be a part of the ministry that God has called you to. Do you agree or disagree with that statement, that every follower of Jesus is called to a ministry? Is it a good idea? Is that where you're sitting with it? You know what? That's a good idea. Yeah, I can agree with that. Or is it a value deep within you? Every follower of Jesus is called to a ministry. I want to begin when we look at the Word of God, looking at a passage of Scripture that I believe is so important for us as we step into serving, as we step into serving in different ministries, volunteering in different ministries, because I believe that in this passage we see the why, we see what we have been called to, but we need to understand first what we have been saved from and why we have been saved. So if we would go to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. We're going to have it up on the screen. It says this, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So where we have to start is understanding and knowing that we are saved by grace. We are not saved because of the good works that we do. We are not saved because we sign up to serve. We are saved by grace. Grace that is given to the undeserving. It's no work that you did. It's no amount of service that you did that somehow made your salvation come to be. It is by grace and by grace alone. See, if it could be earned, if our salvation, if our standing with Christ could be earned, we could come and say, look at what I did. Look at what I did because I served, because I did these good works, because I'm a good person. Look at where I am now with Christ, saved. That's not how it works. That is not the truth of the Bible. The truth is that we were saved by grace alone. And God is meant to get the glory. When we do the serving, when we do the good works, when we go out and we put action to our faith, it again is not about us. It's about giving glory to our God, making a big deal about Him. We were saved by grace, and we need to understand that. We need to start from there. That needs to be our foundation. But what this passage tells us is that we were saved by grace through faith, but we were created to serve. We were purposed to do good works that God set before us. God calls us in this passage His workmanship, His handiwork, His work of art. The Greek word for this is where we get the word poem from. It's this beautiful expression of creativity, that God created us, these creative beings, for good works that He has called us to. He created us for a purpose, and that is to serve Him. It is a divine purpose. It's not just some good idea that the pastors have worked up so that we don't have to do all the work. This is a divine purpose from God. He has called us to be a part of His mission and to put action to our faith. So again, having this order correct in our understanding, so important that we are saved by grace, this undeserved free gift of God, and we were created to serve through good works that bring glory not to us, but to our God. There are so many more scriptures throughout the New Testament that speak to the action that we are to put to our faith. James chapter 2, verse 17 says, "In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead." There is this working together. I have been saved by grace so that I can put feet to my faith, so that I can do the things that God has called me to. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms." God's grace, that free, undeserved gift given to you, how do you steward it? By serving others, by pointing them through the work that we do, through the service that we give, pointing them back to our God, to the great grace that He has given to us. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it." There is no signing up to be in the kingdom of God and then sitting by yourself. We are called to be part of the body, each one of us with a special role to play, a special gift to use, a special work that we are meant to do. Romans 12, verses 4 to 6 says, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us." The bottom line from all of these scriptures is that we are saved by grace, meant, created for good works to serve, that faith without works is dead. We are all part of the body, part of God's kingdom, and we have gifts that have been given to us by God, meant to serve others so that God gets the glory. Saved by grace and created to serve. So let's circle back to that opening statement that every follower of Jesus is called to a ministry. What are you called to today? Now, I believe that this is a fact, that every follower of Jesus is called to a ministry. I believe that it's very plain in Scripture, just in that kind of bullet point scriptures that we read. We are all called to serve in some capacity. I think that we could all agree, serving is a good idea. Yes, it's good. I like it. We should all serve. Whenever you hear that "should" word, it's almost like a bad word, okay? Because we should serve, but what happens when we leave the church? We forget. We think someone else is going to do it. We get busy, we fill our calendars, we fill our schedules, and now this "should" becomes something that we don't step into. See, when it's just a good idea, that's where it stays. Unless we actually begin to transition from that good idea to actually action, to putting feet to it, it will always and forever remain a good idea. There's an educational psychologist, his name is Benjamin Bloom, and he has worked through and developed a 5-step process for how we learn, how we grow, how we change, how we basically move from something being a good idea to something being a value, something that we do. And I want to talk to you about these different steps to help us move from the good idea to the value. The first step is awareness. Awareness. So when we're talking about serving, this would be a statement like serving is an interesting idea. Looking around the room, seeing the different stations, serving. Yeah, I think that, you know, that should be done. Somebody should go and serve in the events team. Hey, somebody should maybe start a men's ministry. That would be great. Serving, what an interesting idea. There's an awareness that there's a need, that there's areas for us to step into. Then the second step would be pondering. Pondering would be asking questions. What would it mean to serve in this capacity? What would it mean for me to step in and serve at On Eagle's Wings? How often would I need to be there? What are the hours? What's the commitment? This pondering takes us just one step further. Now we're not just base aware, but we are now asking specific questions about what would serving here look like. And then the next step is an idea. I think this is kind of where we're at right now. Serving, it's a good idea. I believe it's important for everyone to serve. Oh yeah, that opening statement that Pastor Lizzie said, that every follower of Jesus is called to a ministry. Yes, what a good idea. And we love to sit there. We love to stay in that place of we have pondered, we have become aware, and now we all agree that serving is a good idea. Now, Benjamin Bloom, this educational psychologist, he actually called step 3 value. Now, I can't call step 3 value because it's not a value unless you do it. It's just a good idea. So we're calling this idea. I believe it's important for everyone to serve. And now typically between step 3 of this process and step 4, there's a big gap. It's the action behavior gap, where it's really, really hard to move us from here, from this good idea, to actually putting feet to our faith, to actually stepping in and doing it. It takes intentionality. One of our mentors, early on in our ministry, he was walking us through values, and Tyler and I came up with different things. Hey, this is a value, that's a value. And this man looked at us and he said, Lizzie, is that something that you do? And I'm like, well, no, I don't do it, but I mean, I value it. He's like, no, you don't. Call the spade a spade. He's like, you do not value it unless you do it. He's like, until that point, it's just a good idea. Now, this applies to every area of your life. Something is a value when you do it, when you set aside time, when you reprioritize, when you make it the thing that you are going to actually do. So this big gap. So how do we get from the good idea to the next step? Intentionality. Step four is to reprioritize. It is to say that now that I have this good idea, I've pondered, I'm aware, I have an idea about serving, now I am going to shift things in my life to make this a reality. I am going to reprioritize. I'm going to make this the number one because that's how much I believe in it. Reprioritize. And then once you do that, that shifting of your life around to step in to this thing that you have held as a good idea, then we can move to step five, which is to own it. When we own it, when we do it, it becomes value. Now we have gone from just that base awareness to acting upon the good idea, to making it a priority. And at this stage, we can say, serving is my value. It's something that I get excited to do because I recognize that this is something that God has called me to. So I'm stepping in. We move from intention to action when we make serving a value. And this is, for most of us, quite the shift. That step four of reprioritizing, it's a hard step. And part of the reason is because in our day and age, we are very busy people. How many of you are busy? We're all busy. We have moved into a time in our world where there is just this immediacy. There's always something grabbing for us, calling our attention, pulling us away. There's our phones, there's our devices, there's the media, everything that's just grabbing at us. Tyler and I often, this makes me feel old, but we often look back to 20 years ago when we were first on the mission field in South Africa. And at that time, life was very calm. There wasn't a lot that was grabbing our attention. Now, we were in very rural South Africa. So 20 years ago, here in Canada, you might have had some things pulling at you. But for us, we were still on dial-up internet. Okay? Some of you don't even know what that is. We were on dial-up internet, and it was so slow that we would only bring in the mail. Like, there was no browsing on the internet. We would bring in email twice a day, and we would sit there as it went through its whole, like, thing, you know, for a really long time. And then all of a sudden, it's like 20 incoming messages, which at that time, we never got 20. Who am I kidding? It was like 2 incoming messages. And then you put it away. There was no TV. There was no social media, at least that we were aware of. And just life was calm. There was so much time to serve. Now, if I were to open up my calendar, it'd be like, ooh, where can I fit serving in? I've got this and I've got that. Oh, the kids have this. Oh, my goodness. Like, where is dinner even fit, let alone serving? This is not a judgment thing. This is just the life and the times that we are in. It takes intentionality to serve. It takes reprioritizing. For some of us, it takes actually scheduling it in. Sometimes we just think someone else will. I love this because it happens all the time. right? We see something, we hear a call, we see the need, we think, yes, that's a good idea. Hey, somebody should. Oh, you know what? So-and-so probably will. And we don't put our names down. Why? Because somebody else will. Guess who somebody else is? No one. Or maybe it's you, and you just need to put your name down, right? The somebody else thing, that gets us all the time. Or perhaps one of the biggest limiting factors is that we limit ourselves. And we say, I couldn't serve here. I don't know enough. I'm not fun enough. I think that oftentimes with things like youth ministry or kids ministry, been there, done that. Look at my kids. They're grown. I can't step back into that. I'm old. Whatever excuse that we have, we often put limiting factors on ourselves. And I believe that God is saying to us today, would you just say yes? Would you just step in to the thing that I've called you to? When we stay in the good idea camp, we end up being this body that only has about 10 or 20% doing the work of the ministry, and that is not the way that God designed his church. But when we move from intention to action, we move to value. And now, that number, the 10 to 20% doing the work, increases to 30%, to 40%. Most churches are really happy when they have 80% serving in some capacity. I would be happy with that, but why stop there? Let's be a church that answers the call of God and says, all of us working together, knowing that we are the body, we will step in and we will serve because we are created to serve. Every follower of Jesus is called to a ministry. We were created to serve, to step in, to do good works. And as we become a church that values serving, more will be accomplished. More will be accomplished within the church, but friends, more will be accomplished out there. Because some of us are called to serve in the broader community. Some of us are called to shine the light of Jesus through the good works that he has called us to in our city and in our world. Coming up in November, John's leading a team from this church to go to Costa Rica. That's putting feet to our faith, saying, I'm going to take this message. I'm going to take this message of the free gift from Jesus, this salvation, and I'm going to take it out and I'm going to share it. So whether God is calling you to serve right here in this context or he has put something else on your heart, I can tell you this, every single one of us is created to serve. More people will be added to faith when we step into our God-given calling, and God will get the glory. You and I are created to serve. Church, this morning I want to pray for you. We're ending our service a little bit differently today. We're not going to sing a song. We're going to just take a moment to ponder what it is that God is calling us to. Maybe you are already serving, and I want to thank you for that. Thank you for stepping in. Thank you for saying yes to God and to this local church. But I want to encourage you to continue to think about how can I continue to put feet to my faith? How can I continue to be active in the church and in this world, shining the light of Jesus? And we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us, to give us ideas, to ignite a passion, and to help us reprioritize so that we can be a people who serve well. So just take a moment of quiet, and then I'm going to pray. Dear Jesus, I just thank you that you have called us. You have called us to this local body. You have asked us to be a part. Lord, I thank you for your great grace that was shown to each one of us. And Father, today I pray that we would feel a sense of encouragement and excitement to step in further, to begin to serve or continue to serve. Lord, I pray that there would be no condemnation, that there would be no shame, that there would be no guilt or even pressure to step in a way that you're not asking us to. But Father, I do pray that each one of us would just open our ears to hear from you. Lord, that we would say yes to the things that you're asking of us. God, you have created us to serve. So Lord, now help us to see how we can do that. Father, I pray for those in this room who just feel like life is crazy busy and I don't have time. Father, would you help us to reprioritize? Father, I pray for those of us who are quick to say someone else will. God, would you help us to say yes? Father, I pray for those of us who just feel like I can't because I'm not good enough. I can't because I don't know enough. Father, would you build us up and bring encouragement to say, I've called you to this, I will equip you for it. So Father, wherever we're at today, Lord, I pray that we would just say yes to you today, God, that we would continue to step in because we want you to get the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.